Welcome to Actors 2020 Podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Keith, and today we have an update on Sophia with a T. But first, we have a very special segment on disabled actors. We're going to interview a gentleman from the United Kingdom. His name is Ross K. Fold. He is a writer, a producer, and a director. I'm looking at his internet movie database page right now, and he has a ton of credits. He has 62 credits as an actor, 22 as an editor, 21 as a director, 20 as a producer, 16 as a casting director, 16 as a cinematographer, and 10 of him just playing himself. This guy's amazing. So without further ado, let's give Ross a call here from Los Angeles, California, all the way across the pond. Boom, to the United Kingdom. Let's see what Ross has to offer you. And here we go.
Hello, Ross K. Fold speaking.
Hello, Ross. It's Johnny Keith from Actors 2020 Podcast. How are you?
Hi, Johnny. I am very good, thank you.
Great. So when you were 18 months, you were already an actor doing a Pampers commercial?
I guess that was against my will, but I had no will. But yeah, apparently I enjoyed it.
I was just going to ask you, did you consent to that?
I didn't get paid for it, but...
That's pretty awesome. So your parents, they were both actors. Is that where you got the acting bug, or was it totally something different?
I believe it probably came from them. They didn't force... Well, actually, saying that, that Pampers commercial perhaps does say that my mom did sort of push me in that direction, perhaps. But beyond that, there was no pressure to go into it at all. I found my way into it. I didn't really get properly started till my late teens, when I was about 18, to start it properly, when I went into doing stand-up and sketch comedy with my friend, live sketch and stand-up towards the London comedy circuit.
My God. I tried that one time. It didn't go over too well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it didn't go over too well.
Oh, no. It's a lot easier when you're part of a double act, believe me.
Yeah.
You can fail together and it's less horrible.
Right. But so back when you were younger, though, so you kind of said, forget the acting for a while, and you went ahead and started doing writing. Because I'm reading here, it says you published your own comic strip when you were 14 years old. How does that happen?
I got into writing. I was always writing with my friend, who became a double act sketch partner later. But what happened was, we invented this comic strip just as a laugh when we were like 12, 13. It was purely for our own amusement, just about a schoolboy. And it was very stupid. But unbeknownst to us, as we got better at it, my dad sent it to the regional newspaper called the Surrey Comet. We didn't know he'd done this, and they really liked it, and obviously there was an appeal because we were very young, and so we got this weekly publishing deal with them to have a weekly comic strip in the regional paper.
Wow, when you were 14.
Yeah, so that went on for 5 years. Around about the end of that time, we went on for just the need to do more, to actually perform the stuff ourselves. Must have just sort of sprung about, and that's sort of how it sort of worked its way into becoming a performance art instead.
That's good training, because now you're 18, you're a legal adult. You can do what you want to do now. You can go ahead and do the short films, the TV, the web series, the plays. I mean, wow.
Exactly. It all went from there. My friend didn't want to continue after a certain period of time that we did.
Which
is a shame, because I always thought we could have gone on and done something together a lot bigger. But it was enough to cement me knowing that I could never not act in my life. I have to do this. And so it led to me doing everything else that went on: short films, web series, TV, radio, video games, every other medium that I can chase and go on from there, really.
So tell us about that you were chosen by the BBC for the Class Act Training Scheme. What is that?
In 2017, the BBC made this scheme called the BBC Class Act, which was their initiative to try and get more disabled actors onto screen, because the representation wasn't really there. They wanted it, and they were telling casting directors, we want disabled actors in our shows, and they were saying, oh, I don't know where to find them.
Mm.
So they took it on themselves to go, well, we'll find them for you. They made a scheme where they invited all disabled actors to apply for this essentially a mentorship trainership program. I auditioned for it. Backtrack, I'm autistic and dyspraxic, which is why I tried out for being lit. I was very lucky to be accepted on it. So I was one of 30 disabled actors in the UK to go on the scheme, where we were sort of given training, access to their directors, actors, casting directors, this whole bundle of things, a training scheme, getting one-on-one with casting directors, getting invited casting events. Really, it sort of helps give us the tools and additional training and contact to sort of help succeed in the industry. And being part of that is probably one of the biggest things for me that has led to so much more. For instance, a bit afterwards, I got onto a BBC Radio 4 show, a radio drama, a little radio play called Liam of Lords, where I played an autistic boy. It was just a really big thing for me to be part of something that went out all across the country. It led me to being signed by this agency called VisAble, which typically is the oldest acting agency that represents disabled actors, about 20 years. And so it's kind of like considered the go-to place when they want specifically disabled actors or just actors in general. And onto that, I was accepted onto that fairly recently, and that was all I put it all down to being on, getting onto the BBC Class Act scheme. That kind of like set things in motion for me. So that's why I consider it to be one of the best things that happened for me in my career.
Were you given like access to where you're actually, you know, one-on-one, you're talking to a producer and director, and then they start actually looking at your resume and they go, oh my God, look at all the stuff this guy's done. He's a no joke. He's not just here, give me work because I'm disabled. You put the time in, you did the work. You've already produced, has that happened? Then they looked at you and they were like even more impressed, like I am?
Thank you very much. I constantly try. I don't think anything's ever a waste of time, even if it's a bad experience. At least in acting, of course, you can have times where you come up and go, oh, that was horrible for whatever reason. But I still think everything you can learn from. So I try and do as much as I can. And see within being selected, you can develop an idea of what the definite avoid for whatever reason. But I try and do as much as I can. And I think it sort of helped build a reasonable body of work and CV in terms of experience. I didn't go to a formal acting school other than, I guess, the BBC sort of a little bit of the training course they did. But other than that, everything I know is just being through repetition of just trying and trying.
Yeah, because instead of going and paying for a class for them to put you in a scene to do all that, you're just doing it all yourself, you know? So you're actually doing it. Instead of somebody training you to do it, you're actually doing it. So you're getting the experience by yourself.
That's just some people, I think, I'm not dismissing training at all, because certain things, absolutely, to help refine techniques and everything, there's so much that can be taught. But I do think there is a degree of having to actually physically do the on-set in the proper environment and learn on your feet.
Yeah, definitely, to gravitate towards that. Could I play a bit of your audio reel? Is that okay?
Sure. Sure, it's fine with me.
So we're just going to listen to about a minute of this.
How cool is that? I love snakes. I think they're cute. I don't think they're demonic at all.
Stay close. CDF Hurricane, please repeat. Over.
Eric, ammo, give!
Dr. White, what have you done?
No worries, we've got this one.
What is this place? Hey, isn't that Eggman?
How is that filter not making those things notice us anyway? We're in direct view from them.
Yo, Tails! Long time no see!
Amy sure doesn't give up that easy.
Tails, how much time's left? Think I'd miss this? Hey, that's my line!
Froggy, where are you? Let's go home.
Those things go up with one hell of a bang.
Yeah! You know our policy! Yeah, time to rock and roll! Take this, you Batman!
As my great-great-great-great-grandma used to say, cool.
That's pretty cool.
Thanks.
So that was just a plethora of stuff that you had on other ones. You just put them all together on one reel.
Yeah, it was sort of a mixture of video game voiceovers, little animations, and audio dramas that I've been part of. Just sort of cut them all together, yeah, to show an array of some of the things that I can do.
That's pretty cool. So you've written over 150 shorts, features, and web series episodes?
That is correct. So see, I didn't stop at the comic book writing. All the time I've been acting, I've also been writing. I love filmmaking myself anyway, and so I make a lot of things myself, a lot of web series, short films, comedy sketches, and yeah, just over the years, counted them all up, and it's somewhere in the region of over 150.
Wow, so you've actually helped out a lot of actors get demo reels in acting, right?
Yeah, I've got this one series called The Faction of Fast, which is like a comedy sketch show, and I counted it up recently, and there was like over 250 actors had been in it in the years that it's been running, and I just thought that was quite cool to have worked with so many different people that are here in London.
That's cool, because they take that part of something that they did for you, and then some director sees it, and then they got a part because you gave them a break. Everyone's paying it forward.
Yeah, I absolutely love working with new actors as well, people who might be their first time or just started. Quite an enjoyment to me. I'm fairly laid back, but as a director, I know exactly what I want to do and how to do it efficiently, but at the same time, I'm probably one of the more calmer people to work with. I think I'm generally quite well suited for newcomers who sort of break their teeth into it.
Since your brother works in the SFX, has he ever worked on a film with you and done any of that for your films?
No, sadly not. We really should. He works on probably a lot bigger projects. He works on a lot of features, and I mean, he's actually nominated for an Emmy.
Wow.
In that department of does like prosthetics and makeup and, you know, sort of injuries. So he's actually going to the Emmy for his work on the fantasy show Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
He was part of the team of that, did a lot on that. But no, weirdly enough, we've not. I would love to. I think we would love to. It's just everything we've worked on has just been different.
That's all right.
But no, hopefully one day there'll be something that we can do.
Right. So it's 2019 now. So in a couple of years, let's say 2 or 3 years, where would you want to be in your career?
I really want to do a lot more TV feature films, really. More prominent ones, I'd say. You know, I love doing everything that I'm doing. I just like to move on to the bigger stages where there's more audience, more people watching. I want to continue what I'm doing just on a bigger level.
Right. So that's good. So, well, you got the agency in place, which is a major, major, major step.
Absolutely. That will definitely, I think, be a major boost because I was working for so many years without one because it's not impossible. But obviously, to step into the bigger things that I would like to, then you need that for the access to a higher profile.
Or just for backup. So you can go out there and push yourself and you can say, hey, even though it's you pushing it, say, contact my agent.
Yeah, that sounds, always sounds good, doesn't it?
Exactly. So in the United Kingdom, do they use like Actors Access or Backstage at all?
Yeah, there's not. Backstage is sort of a bit more new over here. Not heard of Actors Access. Our main ones are Mandy, Spotlight is a little harder to get into. They won't just take anyone. There's a lot of credit checking, and Star Now, which is a little more entry level. But there's a lot of good stuff in there, and I'm on it a lot of the time. And I think it's a great site, and I've met so many good people.
So we go Star Now, then Mandy, then Spotlight for the United Kingdom.
Pretty much what the sort of accepted thing is, sort of the tiers, I would say.
Right. And so if somebody was just moving there, they just kind of ended up there. Maybe they're young teenager, maybe they're 14 to 20 years old. Like, where do they start? Just on those websites, or is there physically a place they can go to get training?
At that age, like I said, that's probably the best entry level one, where they will probably be able to start getting those sort of jobs that can help them immerse themselves and sort of learn on the job. But there's a lot of short-term acting classes and courses that run here, especially in London. So, you know, even if you don't want to commit to so a year or two at a fully-fledged drama school, or you have to work around it, you can't just put your time doing that. There's a lot of short-term courses over here that might just be weekends, might just be evenings. There's a lot of those around. So you can definitely start there if you really want to start at a place like that and you feel you need it, then absolutely go for that. And but I'd say all the time, continue to try and find work. Because like I said, I believe that is the best way to learn, just getting out there and doing it. Because especially in London, there is a lot that goes on here. So if you want to find experience, you will be able to find it, especially here.
Right. So if someone's 18 years old or 20, 21 years old in London and they want to be an acting, London's the place to start?
Oh, definitely. It is. Most of it is here. Then I'd say Manchester is probably the next sort of big place which has the work. Most people who sort of want to take it seriously do tend to end up moving to one of those. Of course, it's completely possible. There's always going to be things around, but most things do tend to happen here. That is just how it has happened.
And how is it out there as far as like union? You know, they have SAG-AFTRA here. Like, does it matter there? Do you have to? Is there a union you have to join to get in, or how does it work in London?
It's not mandatory. We do have Equity, which is similar to your SAG-AFTRA, but it's not mandatory to join it. Some people do think there are certain benefits that you do get. You do have to pay to be part of it. There are benefits to it, including certain discounts. Some to certain courses, certain shops and restaurants that offer it to people who have these Equity cards, similar to Sympathy, your unions. They fight for better actor rights and minimum standards of pay for this, that, and the other. But it's not mandatory to have to join it straight away if you're struggling for money or you just don't want to. It's not essential. It won't prevent you from working.
Right. So out of all the credits that you have that's on your Internet Movie Database page, which are quite a few, what was your favorite to go and do just as an actor?
Honestly, this one's an unfortunate one because I can never use it as showreel footage because I recently did a corporate training video for the Metropolitan Police where I was playing the leader of a terrorist organization. And it's kind of like a training video used to train for senior officers, kind of like how to respond to a terrorist attack.
Okay.
Basically. But obviously, because of the nature of it, it's never going to. You can't have public release in that respect because they can't really leak that,
yeah,
how they're going to respond. But I don't often get to play bad guys, and I enjoy doing this role because, you know, like I said, don't get the chance to do show too much. I've not really seen a bad guy too often, but I believe I can do a good job. And especially this one, because when I was done, I thought I had done okay. The guy said to me that I have to say that you are the best act we've ever had coming here. Got a lot of good ones, but on another level. And that just meant so much to me. Sometimes it doesn't matter how much I do. I feel questioned, can I do this? Or am I any good at this? And I think that's common for actors. I think it's very common.
Well, there you go. I mean, the guy just validated you. But the reason why is because you're doing things that you don't realize you're doing technical-wise. It makes it easier for the producer, the director, lighter, the camera, and the editing, because you're already thinking of all those things, I'm sure, or unconsciously you're doing it, so you're able to control your performance to where it's not out of control. You know how to contain it. So when they go back and watch it, they're like going, wow, because you're doing so much more that you don't even realize, and it comes off, and man, that's to your advantage of doing all those projects yourself because you have so much experience.
Yeah, like I said, it's just, that's kind of why I really enjoyed doing the role. I got such a confidence booster from it because of what he said, and didn't expect that at all. And so, yeah, that's probably why one of my most recent enjoyable for me, for what I, just like I said, such a shame that I can't use it.
It's always fun playing the bad guy, though.
Yeah, what I perceive to be one of my best performances, and never see the light of day outside training exercises. Oh, well, never mind. At least it was validation, so there we go.
So what is your inspiration for other disabled actors?
I would say, that in the sense that being autistic, it's on a spectrum, so there's going to be some people that some of my things might not necessarily completely relate to them, but a lot of it, I would say, is probably put off doing a lot of things for quite a few years because of some things that directly correlated to my disability. I do find travel a little hard. I have a lot of problems with sensory overload, such as too much light, too much sound, crowds, things like that. They can upset me and cause me to sort of shut down and to just be completely shut down and not want to talk, not want to do anything. And I'm very unorientated as well. I do enjoy routine. That is a very autistic thing. However, my passion for acting is still there, and acting doesn't always go routine, and there are certain things that go against what I'm perhaps comfortable with in terms of sometimes lighting is a bit too much for me.
Right.
But there is this perseverance that because I want it so much, I put myself through it because I look at the end goal. I want to do this for myself so that I can prove to myself that I can do it. And gradually through time, certain things that have been difficult for me because of my disability, I've been able to not eradicate them. They exist, things that I have, but tolerate them, I would say would be the word, and sort of build up a want to do it because I so want to get to the end result of getting to these bigger and better projects. And I would say that these disabilities, which at one point I thought I could never, so many things that I thought were preventing me getting there, I just kept trying, and I'm not letting it stop me. And I believe that disability shouldn't stop you. There's always going to be a place somewhere for you. If you just keep trying, then eventually I think it will pay off. If you want it that much, then you can find a way to work around it, work with it, and use it to your advantage in some occasions. I don't believe disabilities always come with some, as far as I'm concerned, there is some compensation there. You might not be good at this one thing. You might be handicapped in this particular area, but there's going to be another strength somewhere. It might be a physical thing. It might be a mental thing, but there's always going to be this compensation which somehow you can use to advance your case and your cause. I always call autism a double-edged sword because there's a lot of problems with it. But once you learn how to handle it, there are some things that, because we're very determined people, we can be very hyper-focused, that I believe the word is, and you can apply that. You just have to try and get over the other little things that are stopping you. So maybe you have problems with social contact. I'm not the best, but I have persevered and I have got better at it. And some people can't tell, other people can. It depends on your own exposure to autism, whether you can tell with myself, I think. But like I was saying, it's a case of sort of getting a grasp of your strengths and using them to ensure that your weaknesses don't stop you. Mine definitely did for a long time, but eventually I managed to get a hold of them, have been getting a hold of them, and get to where I am now, like I said, which isn't the end goal, but getting a lot closer to it.
Right. It's very good advice. I think a lot of people are listening to them, and they're listening to you right now. Kind of relating because, I had people here with that had Tourette's. My son has something called misophonia, and there's always something that's there, and you can use it as an excuse or you can use it to move forward. And that was great what you just said.
I would certainly agree with that. There's certainly things that I would use as an excuse. And sometimes it's easier, it's more comfortable to take that excuse and I'll be fine. But I want those bigger things. And I know sometimes I have to go outside my comfort zone to get them. And when I'm there on the set, I'm achieving it. Sometimes I know that it's worth it. You'll be proud of yourself and you'll feel really good that you've achieved it.
Awesome advice. So if somebody wanted to find more about you, where would they go online to find out more about Ross?
Various outlets. I'm on Twitter @RossKFode. I am on YouTube. YouTube. If you search my name, just Ross K. Fode, you will come across me. And many videos I put out there. Those are probably my main sort of things that I use. I'm on and off Facebook occasionally. It's kind of a social. This does go with my disability. Sometimes I can get overwhelmed with communication. So sometimes I use it. Sometimes I'm deactivated for a while.
Me too.
And then I'll pop back up.
Right there with you. I shut it down. I shut it down for a long time.
Yeah, so Twitter and YouTube are probably my more constant ones.
So is there anything else you want to say or anything you want to promote personally before we wrap it up?
I would say if there are any London or Surrey-based actors or those who are looking to get into acting, with my productions, I am always, always looking for actors. Even if you don't have experience, I tend to normally always have roles going somewhere. If you're looking for that first-time experience and you don't know where to start, want to check me out on Twitter or YouTube and send me a message, then I'm always very, very happy to consider new actors that are, you know, looking to try and get their first little experience and break. Always love to hear from anyone who might be out there.
Awesome. Hey, Ross, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to share your story with my audience.
No, thank you. Absolute pleasure. Great time.
Yeah, from across the pond, I'm in LA, you're in United Kingdom. It's pretty awesome, the technology where we could actually do something like this.
Definitely.
But again, I so appreciate it. I get lots and lots and lots of submission. I'm very impressed with you.
Oh, thank
and
you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being on my show so much.
Thank you for letting me. Absolute pleasure.
All right, Ross.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, take care.
Bye. Wow. What an incredible individual. That touched me right here in my heart, and I'm sure it touched you too. Anyone feeling lazy? I sure am. This guy is such a go-getter. What an amazing example to anyone to look up to. Thank you so much, Ross K. Fode, for being my special guest. So, you want more information about him? Twitter, Ross K. Fode. You can just Google him and you'll see all his information. Check him out on the Internet Movie Database, Ross K. Fode. Look at all his amazing credits. Thank you. Once again, I sincerely appreciate you being my guest. You are amazing. Ross also wanted me to mention that he just recently finished filming an 80s-style horror feature film, I Scream on the Beach. So check him out on the Internet Movie Database. And if you're a casting person, you might want to give Ross K. Fode a shot. All right, so we're going to give an update on Sophia with a T. So we have her mom in the studio today. And so far, we're going to give you an update on her career. So remember, her mom knows nothing about acting. Sophia knows nothing about acting. But everyone says, hey, your kid is cute. So what we did is we went down and we did a photo shoot, right?
Yeah, we did.
Right, so it was the same photographer who shot me. We got Sophie's pictures. And then we uploaded them to where?
We uploaded them to the Actors Access. I got a free profile so far.
Right. So we got the pictures. We uploaded them to Actors Access. And then we set the settings for roles like hers. Her mom's been looking on Actors Access and we've been seeing all the roles that she could potentially play. But first, she needed a work permit. So she went and she applied for the work permit, and she's going to talk a little bit about that process for you.
So it's actually pretty simple. Google is a great thing. There's actually two types of permits. There's a 10-day permit, which you do have to pay for, and then there's a 6-month permit. Don't ask me what the difference is and why it's important, but 6 months is free, so definitely try that out. Pretty simple process. Make sure your kid has a birth certificate. You apply all the pictures, answer all the questions. I'm still in the pending process, so I'm going to check on it in about a week. After that, very excited. Once she gets through it, we're going to pay for the Access profile and start applying to some jobs and hopefully get Sophia out there.
Right. So right now she didn't apply yet because you have to fill in some paperwork saying that you have the permit. So she's just been checking it out. And it's kind of frustrating because you see all these roles she's great for, but you know, you have to have that permit first. Once you get the permit, you're going to join Actors Access and then you're going to start submitting her for parts.
Absolutely.
All right. That's cool. So we're going to give you an update on what's going to happen next. But remember, I told you that there's a place on Actors Access to the right. It's a scroll down that says Talent Link. It's $35. You pay, and then the agents contact you. Is that what you're going to do?
Absolutely. I think that's going to be a really good start for her.
That's what's going to happen next. We're going to do Talent Link after she gets a few parts herself, though, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's a good way because we did try to look for an agent at first, and I wasn't successful, I'll be honest. I probably applied to 30 different agencies at this point. I either did not get a response or response was, you know, at this point of time, our talent quota is filled. I think my kid is special, and I just need to get her out to the best talent agent out there.
That's the update on Sophia, and we're going to play a little clip for her right now. It's basically her and I arguing about who's going to get an acting job first. So we're going to play that and we're going to update you after she joins and we're going to see what kind of part she gets. And then we're going to do the talent link and we're going to see if she gets an agent. So stay tuned.
Thank you guys. I'm really excited to do this process with all of you.
All right. Bye-bye.
What is your name?
Sophia with a T. A good way to remember me is Sophia with a T.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I'm getting in the acting.
I'm getting in the act.
What? No, I'm getting into acting.
No, me too. Okay. Johnny, why do you want to go into acting?
Well, it all started when I was about your age. I used to watch TV and...
I love this story. That story is so boring. Oh my gosh, you're putting me to sleep.
Well, if you're going to get into acting, you need to have your pictures taken. I had my pictures taken.
Oh, but I already have my pictures taken.
Wait a minute. You got pictures taken too?
Yeah.
You're copying me. You're doing what I'm doing.
Oh, yeah?
That's not fair. I want to get into acting. Next thing you know, you want to get into acting. I want to get my pictures taken. You want to get your pictures taken. Oh, my God, you're a copycat.
Oh, yeah? I'm just a mouse and you're just a cat.
What? I joined Actors Access and I'm submitting myself.
Yeah, because I want to get in there too. And then I'm going to get in TV.
What? You're going to go to Actors Access and you're going to submit your pictures too?
Yeah, let's see who gets in TV first.
Wait a minute. You think you're going to get a part before I get a part?
Yeah.
Well, you are pretty cute. You are better looking than me. You are younger than me.
Johnny, you're so old and you're so crumply.
What? How old are you?
4 and a half. So bigger than you.
So you're not even 5 years old.
I'm going to be an actor. I'm going to be a model. I'm going to buy my mommy a house and a brand new car. That's all I have to say for today. My name is Sophie, and I'll see you next time. Bye, everybody. Love you. That's the update from Sophia. Abbity, abbity. That's all, folks. Can we go play now?
Well, that was the fun bit. And right after her mom's interview, she got a text, and Sophia did get the first job. She is currently an LA parent magazine promoting a preschool. Even though I have been doing several gigs for USC film students, I got all those parts on Actors Access. I'm not considering that like real work. I'm just dusting the cobwebs off and getting my acting skills up to par. It's been a lot of fun and I love working with these young filmmakers. It's so much fun. Be sure to like, comment, and review wherever you're listening to this podcast. We would really appreciate it. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Actors 2020 Podcast. I'm Johnny Keith, your host. Now we're going to end this episode, like we end every episode, with something called The Lesson. Because life is a bitch. Gee, really? Why don't you tell me something I don't already know? Because everywhere I go, people tell me what to do. Hey, go to church, go to school, you treat me like a fool. Now, I don't need religion, culture, or class. You don't like that fact? Well, you can kiss my ass. Yeah, I'm white and I rap. You got a problem with that? Loosen up and don't be so uptight. Take it easy, E. We got the whole night. Yes, I'm psyched. I'm ready to get the show on the road. I don't want to stop because I just might explode. I'll tell you what, home slice. I'm twice as nice than any bad boy rapper called Vanilla Ice. My lesson, yeah, it's hip. In case you didn't know what I'm here to inform ya, I'm better than snow. I don't moonwalk or dunk like these Michael J's, but I can hold my own. You hear what I say? Now listen, learn, cause here comes the lesson. Lesson one. Everybody sit down, JK is gonna take you for a ride uptown. Yo, this is the story of the Hollywood game. Choose your path careful, you're the only one to blame. Now when it comes to pot, crack, tweak, or blow, stick to the rules and just say no. Because you're young, you're eager, you want in the movies. Don't think you'll get there by giving up the booty. Cause they'll use you, abuse you, throw you out like trash. And then you'll discover that you're out of cash. Now your heart, your soul is somewhere on the shelf. And you're walking through the streets now talking to yourself. The lesson. Well, you heard lesson one, it's time for lesson two. You have a choice, and the choice is up to you. I came to Hollywood to be a rich and famous star, but for now I'm waiting tables and I'm tending someone's bar. Pictures, classes, agents, where the hell does it all end? Every time I turn around, I'm starting over again. I finally got a break with a five line and under. My life was starting to roar like lightning and thunder. The phone rings, hello, I'm cast in a pilot. My life's been out of control just like an LA riot. I walked off the set, said to hell with this old man. The phone's not even ringing and my life is in the can. The lesson.
Yeah, final lesson here, of course it's number 3. Now remember, I'm an actor, to be or not to be. When the going got tough, I climbed into the bottle. I'm back on my feet now, revving my throttle. On the climb to the top, it's the same old games. Now I'm kicking ass and I'm taking some names. Clawing, scraping, screaming, that was a long, hard crawl. But it was all worth it, I'm a box office draw. Opportunity was there when I took it with a punch. Not now, baby, but let's do lunch. There's a big piece of pie and you should grab your portion. You can be like me, enjoying fame and fortune. Boom! That's the lesson. Go and learn it. It's the lesson. Go and learn it. It's the lesson. Peace out. Thank you for tuning in to Actors 2020 Podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Keith. Until the next episode, bye-bye.